Mr. Dodson grabbed the front of my shirt with both hands, then stood up straight and lifted me off my feet and shoved me over the top rail of the pier. All the movement and sounds and colors went flying from my brain and left behind some blurry photographs. In one of them, the rail is pressing into the small of my back and I'm rocking over it like a teeter-totter, dragging Mr. Dodson with me. In the next, my head snaps back and I'm trying to untangle my legs from him. I can feel his fingers claw at my legs and shoes, but he can't seem to get a grip on me. Then my feet fly straight up over my head and I'm trying to walk upside down in the air. I fall head first and paddle wheel my arms as if that will stop me. The top of my head bangs into something and my neck bends forward. I twist and fold at my waist so that my feet are pointed down again and I'm looking at the pier. Mr. Dodson isn't there. My backside wallops into something like a wall. The force of that takes the breath from me again and it feels like I'm stuck there a second or two, held up by my surprise, I guess. And then time starts up and colors come back and I slide down over the rough boards of the hull and head for the bay. Jack Clemens in his new novel, The Outliers. Welcome to Delmarva Today. I'm your host, Harold Wilson. My guest this morning is Lewis, Delaware author Jack Clemens, and we're discussing his new novel, The Outliers. Jack is an aerospace engineer and was a member of the NASA team for the Apollo and Space Shuttle programs. His memoir, Safely to Earth, The Men and Women Who Brought the Astronauts Home, is an award-winning book. Jack appeared on Delmarva Today in 2019 to discuss the memoir. He has also authored several works of historical and science fiction. Jack, welcome back to Delmarva Today.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
Well, Jack, please tell us about your new novel.
Well, this is something called a hidden history novel. That is fiction, but some of what happens might be true. For example, one of the characters, Miss Lil, was a real person.
You've written this book about Lewis and about outlaws and sheriffs and Indians. What are you interested in saying to us with this book?
Well, I guess what I'm trying to do is talk about the story of Lewis back in the days, right around the turn of the 1901, and describe some things that happened then and what was going on in Lewis. And then beyond that, I have a character who's sort of the center of the story, who's the one that tells the story in the first person. And I'm trying to get across what it's like for that guy, that man, that young man, to live in that world. And especially when a couple of strangers show up and start turning things upside down.
Most of us know Lewis. You live there, but most of us know Lewis as a beach town. What was Lewis like? I know you do a good job in your book of telling us what it's like, but for our radio audience, in 1901, what was Lewis like?
Well, it was an interesting time. It takes place in 1901, and that was around the time when the Inner Breakwater was being built in Lewis. And so, like today, Lewis was a very popular place for visitors, mostly because there was a ferry that traveled back and forth between here and Cape May. which was just like it is today, very one of the reasons people come to Lewis. But the building of the breakwater also brought dozens of laborers who worked and lived on the beach. So it became a time when there was a lot of people being coming and going to Lewis, and a very busy time, and a lot of money was being spent in Lewis, which is always, they were always happy about getting it that in those days.
Your character, the main character, through whose eyes and we see the unfolding of these events in Lewis, is named Sonny. And tell us a bit about him. Who is he?
Sonny is a young Nanticoke Indian boy who works doing chores for Miss Lil, which we'll talk about in a little bit, I think, and her girls. He likes his job. He likes having a place to live and work and get paid, especially as a Nanticoke boy, because they like the Black people at that time were not allowed to do very much independent work in Lewis. So things are fine with him. He's loving it. And then two strangers come into town, and what they do and what they try to do turns his world upside down. And that's Sonny. And he doesn't like having to have his world turn upside down simply because of what's happening in that town. And so especially because these two strangers show up and they start disrupting his life a lot.
Tell us about his brother. His brother is actually also a central character in the story in a little bit of a different way.
Yes. So his brother, who is older than him, is likes to be off on his own. He, at one point in Sonny's life when he was younger, his father died, and his mother was told to send Sonny to this home up in Pennsylvania, where they would take care of him. And he didn't want to go, but his mother, but they insisted that he go, and he hated it there. He hated learning all the. He had to learn how to speak English in an American way. He had to learn all about the religious requirements he had for having to be there. And he hated it so much that at one point his brother got on a train, came up there, pulled him out in the middle of the night and took him home. So he saved Sonny's life that way by getting him out of there. And they were very, very close because of that. His father, as I said, was dead. His mother was very ill. And in fact, Sonny had been told that his mother was ill, but the church people up there wouldn't let him go home. And he was really upset about it. And so because of that, by the time he got home with his brother, his mother had already died. So now he and his brother were the only two that were remaining that had a relationship, the family relationship. And they were very good with each other for quite a while, until Sonny got this job working for Miss Lil, and then his brother started seeing him as sort of a guy, a young Indian man that is now trying to be a white man, and then things started breaking down between them because he started calling him names that made him sound like he was a traitor to the Indian beliefs.
Well, I'm sure you did some research for the novel on the Indian schools, and you pick up, not in an extensive way, but as you've just said, you pick up on what some of these schools did to the young Indian children, which was basically to turn them into white Christians.
Correct.
Changed their names, and taught them Christian religious beliefs. Is that what you found in general as you did your research on the schools for the book?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, I had done a great deal of research on this book before I wrote it. I mean, Sonny himself is a fictional character, but there were many, many stories of young Native Americans being taken up to those schools, just like this, being taken up and being told what to do and what not to do. And they would get slapped around if they didn't. They'd even lock them up at night for not saying all the right things at church. So yeah, that was all really true. And so it was one of the things that I wanted my character, Sonny, to be having dealt with. And also that's why when he came back, he was just like, I got to find some place to live. I can't stay out in the farm. I got to have find something to do and something to live and get paid for it. And then his brothers, like I said, his brothers start teaching it. Well, if that's the case, then you're just another white boy. Right.
Well, his brother also taunted him mm-hmm. by calling him by his white Christian name, Russell. And yeah. His Indian name was almost unpronounceable for white people. So they just settled on Sonny as a name for him. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah. In fact, in the book itself, there's a whole section about that where Sonny talks about how he tried to pronounce his name, his Native American name, and it just wouldn't go. I mean, it was useless. So he got the closest thing he could and to it, and Sonny was it. It was Sonili or something like that, as I recall, was the original name. But people couldn't pronounce it, so it was Sonny.
I wanted to ask you about the character of the book itself, which intrigues me. The book jacket says that the novel is somewhat like the Wild West stories that we read, a kind of a Wild West characteristic set in Lewis, Delaware, on the Delmarva Peninsula. Right. Is that what you had in mind as you wrote the novel? And now that the novel is out, do you see it like that at all?
Yes, I do. I did see it then. And so the story itself is built around, in addition to Sonny, built around two strangers who come into town. And they are looking for something. As it turns out, one of them is looking for the other one and is trying to chase him down. So one of them is a marshal and the other is a kind of a not so good do-gooder. And the marshal the other has come into town trying to find his quote girlfriend, which was a prostitute that he had known from some time earlier that he wanted to now come down and live with and pay for her rates and stuff. In fact, it's not even clear early on why he went to all that trouble to come into town. You find that out as time goes. And then the other one was a Western cowboy, like I said, a Texas Ranger who was decided to track him down because there's a price on his head. And if he could catch him to track him down, he could make a lot of money from it. So those are the two that come in. And when they come in, then Sonny gets wrapped up in all the stuff that they're trying to do. And his brother himself also gets wrapped up in what they're trying to do. And because of that, things just start spinning apart.
As a result of that and thinking about your novel and Wild West stories, I looked at some of the characteristics of the older Western novels, and I kind of thought about your book in terms of those characteristics, and it was amazing to me how closely you came to that. To that genre, and I'll ask you what you think of this little list that I put together of the Western novels, and if they in fact fit.
Okay.
Your book, for instance, there is always the good-hearted prostitutes. And I know we'll talk about that again, I hope, in a moment. But you've got the good-hearted prostitute. And then there are the snooty town people. And there were usually in the Western novels a divide in the community between the upper class townspeople and the working people, as it were. And the hero in the Western novels was always a large man, a moralist, and in a sense, in their own right, a legend themselves. And I think, am I right? Your Marshall kind of fits this description as well.
Yes, it is. We've avoided talking about who the Marshal was and who the other guy is for a reason. But that comes out late in the book. It comes out about who they are and why they're there. But yeah, I was a big fan of Westerns, Western books, Western movies. And so I thought it would be kind of fun to write a Western that happens on the East Coast. So that's my East Coast Western story. And then there's people come into town in a town they don't know very much about and don't care very much about what those people think of them, but they come into town and they start doing their thing. And they sort of take it over. And in the process, because Sonny is working for this madam who has the prostitutes, they start taking over his life. And he doesn't want anything to do with it. And they, in the course of this story, they get more and more ingrained in his life and in his brother's life. And so now he finds himself getting pulled into this whole mess of what is going on in this town. And what do these people want? And why can't they just leave me alone? And yet he finds himself requiring himself actually to be part of it just so he can get through all this stuff and survive. Because they are tearing apart his life. They're tearing apart his brother, especially who was for reasons that have come out in the story. One of them have even pulled his brother into their little routine. And it turns out that routine is not a very good one. What the one Western guy is doing is basically going to try to rob a bank. And he decides that one way he can get away with it is by pulling Sonny's brother into it to be his helper. And that starts taking everything downhill. So yeah,
well, he's kind of the other characteristic of the Western genre, which is the good-hearted outlaw, in a sense. He's the very likable, very solid outlaw, but he's got a good heart, and he's also got a woman who's loyal to him. Well, tell me, and the story as I saw it, Jack, you can respond to this. The story is to a great extent a pursuit story, a revenge story. I know there's a lot more than that involved, but that to some degree, along with Sonny's relationship to his brother, kind of drive the novel.
Yeah, and it all comes together ultimately. And if we have a few minutes, I'll read a little bit of the book, because right up front, at the very front of the book, in the very first two or three pages, I describe exactly what's going to happen in the rest of the book. And the book, by the way, Sonny is the narrator all the way through. It is constantly only told from his point of view by him.
Well, go ahead and do that if you would, Jack.
Sure. I met the marshal almost 30 years ago. It was a Friday. I couldn't forget the date. It was May 3rd, 1901, exactly 1 week before my brother died. I was out on the pier that day, taking stock of visitors, steering for the girls, when the marshal got off the boat. So that's the opening sentence that says the, what the date is, when he met the marshal, and how he couldn't possibly forget it because it was exactly a week before his brother dies. That's up front.
Steering for the girls, though, I have to confess it took me a minute before I realized what that term meant. What does steering for the girls mean?
Okay, it means that when, as men, presumably, got off the boat, a lot of them wanted to go see, got off the boat or came in, they wanted to go see one of the girls and have some times with her.
So well, the girls were the prostitutes at the prostitutes, Lil's, right?
Yes. And so what he did is try to steer them toward Miss Lil's house. So they'd come off and they were like, well, what's going on in town? I don't know much about it. Where are the hotels? And his role is, if you could stay with me, sir, I will take you to where those girls are. And part of his job was that steering them away from downtown hotels and up into Miss Lil's house. So that was the steering. And he had called it that. I guess they had started calling it that from the beginning.
The town was, to a great extent, fairly tolerant of this house, Miss Lil's house with the five girls in it, five young women, yeah. In it who were plying
five girls, yeah.
Plying their trade.
Yeah, they were, and it depends on who you talk to, right? So it wasn't illegal at the time. You could have prostitutes. It's just that it was considered very ugly by the towners, who thought that, well, that was just awful that even allow that sort of stuff to happen. But the towners were just that. They lived downtown Lewis. Miss Lil's place was out on the beach, so it wasn't close to the downtown, and she could kind of do whatever she wanted. And so that's why, you know, Sonny was part of that. He would help her clean up the house and do all those sort of things. And one of the things he'd do, though, was steer for the girls. He had to be out there when those boats came in and say, oh, sir, I'd love to take you over here. Come on, follow me. And in fact, at the beginning of the book, there's a section where he first meets the marshal getting off a boat. And when he meets the marshal distracts him so long that he ends up not having time to steer the girls. And he gets mad at himself and then leaves. But because Marshall's done that to him.
The relationship between Sonny, the Native American, and the town was pretty much the same, it appears in your novel, as that of Black people.
Yes.
And the town. So yes. The townspeople saw little difference between the two.
That's correct. The state of Delaware, though, had by that time even had already declared that Indians were not Black. The Indians were Indians, but the people that lived in those towns didn't care what you call them. They call them Black. You know, they treated them exactly the same. You couldn't go into the front doors. You had to go in through the back. If you were trying to buy something, they'd let you in. Couldn't eat with everybody else. So there was a lot of time in those times. What he was dealing with was tantamount to what the Black people at the time were dealing with. And I don't want to make the novel sound dull, like it's just all about that. But those events that we've just talked about, that is the strangers that are in town, the Miss Lil going in and out of town, produced this a set of events that drive Sonny and the characters around him all the way through this book to the point for even be involved in it. And ultimately to gets in the middle of the cowboy and the marshal. he gets caught in the middle of the two of them, and it could produce not only hurtful time for him, but possibly get his brother killed, which, as I've said at the beginning of the movie, beginning of the book, that ultimately happens that same week. This whole thing only happens in 1 week.
The other characteristic of the Western that I have to mention, Jack, is the evil banker and his innocent, now beautiful daughter, who is also a figure in the genre of the West. You have to have the evil banker and his innocent daughter, and she plays. She plays a very subtle role, but a significant role in the novel.
And it's a role.
Let me ask you. The narrative of your novel is driven heavily by dialogue. And in the section that I read, just beyond the middle of the novel, that I read at the beginning of the program, is really heavy, heavy descriptive material. And to some degree, introspective material on the part of Sonny, which we don't find. He's not super introspective, but in this section that I read, and in the whole incident of the ferry boat, and that significant incident in the novel that I'll leave for our readers to find out about themselves, the dialogue is almost abandoned during that section, and the description is, I think, just really, really excellent. As the little bit of it that I read at the beginning, what happened to you in the sense that you shifted from the kind of dialogue approach to this very thick descriptive material, which I found really, really compelling?
Well, again, the first lines in my book say, I met the marshal almost 30 years ago. It was on a Friday. I couldn't forget the date. It was May 3rd, 1901, exactly 1 week before my brother died. So he's not only speaking in the first person to all this book, but he's recalling something that actually happened 30 years earlier. And that is the time where he is, and toward the end of the book, that comes back out very strongly. He has now stepped back from that life and said, what in the world was going on 30 years ago? And what did it mean? And what should it have mean to me? And why did it even ever happen? And so, and in addition to all of the rest of that, why did my brother have to die? So that part is now one step up from where he is the rest of the book, which is in the immediate time. And one of the things I was trying to do with the book is have this perspective, because at the very end of the book, as the readers will find, you'll find out who these two people were, the marshal and the bad guy.
Right.
Who they are by name.
Right.
And they are people whose name you will recognize. And now that puts him in a higher level of remembrance about just exactly who they were. And who they are who they were, what happened to them, and what it meant to him then, and what it means to him now.
Well, Jack, it's a real pleasure talking to you this morning, and I enjoyed greatly your book. Congratulations!
Thank you so much
on the novel, and I want to thank all of you for listening. This is Delmarva Today. I'm your host, Harold Wilson.